Welcome to the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation's Our Blue Bahamas podcast here on Guardian Radio, where we talk about promoting the conservation of the Bahamian marine environment that sustains our way of life. Today we're going to be talking about we're going to be talking with the youth voices of our Bahamas and the youth voices of our planet, tackling environmental issues together. So youth activism and environmental conservation and how students can take action on pressing ecological challenges. I'm your host, Crystal. Joining me today is Heather from the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation, our SDG climate SDG ambassador for the Bahamas, Samantha Ramirez. Make sure I pronounce that right. Okay. And Wainisha Saunders, who is the youth climate ambassador for the Bahamas. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it feels really good to have ambassadors in here with us today, especially young ambassadors who are very passionate about this country and our environmental issues. So Samantha, tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right. So my name is Samantha Ramirez Valcava, and I am studying engineering and environmental technology. And my focus as a youth ambassador for the SDGs is on goals 9, 12, and 14, which are industry innovation and infrastructure, responsible consumption and production, and life below water. And my focus is just to help preserve and conserve the beautiful country that we call the Bahamas. So, yeah, thank you for having me. That's all about me.
Awesome. Wainisha.
Yeah, so I'm a climate change youth ambassador. I'm studying law and criminal justice, actually. And I entered this space 2 to 3 years ago. It really was having like a lot of my family members and friends move from Abaco after Hurricane Dorian, and me just doing a deep dive on like trying to figure out what's going on within my country and realizing that I don't have to be a big scientist or doctor to be included in this space, and more youth should be involved. So that's how I really entered this space. And my focus is youth education and just basically teaching young people about the importance of climate action and sustainability.
Wow, that is beautiful. And that is so perfect for us here, because that's what we're all trying to do. We're all trying to spread the word of conservation and encourage and empower youth, especially through our brief programs, to be voices of the Bahamas that could make a positive change toward conservation. Samantha, tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get involved in this environmental activism at such a young age.
So the first time I ever heard about environmental damage or the fact that human actions were threatening our environments, both marine and terrestrial, I was probably in grade 7 or grade 8, I think. We were watching a documentary on plastic pollution, marine plastic pollution, in a biology class. And again, I mentioned preserving our country is my main priority as a youth ambassador and in life. So I think once I realized that these human actions, that we're responsible for destroying our oceans, destroying our plants, destroying our marine species, destroying whole ecosystems just because of pollution, just because of greed, because we're not educated on how we can sustainably use all of our resources, I knew that I wanted to do something about it to help continue our development through an engineering perspective, but also continue our development in a sustainable way that we're not using up all our resources and not leaving anything for future generations. So I think that's how I got into the space at such a young age.
Wow, incredibly inspiring, very inspiring. So everybody out there listening, please know that you are never too young. Grade 7, you are never too young to start taking action or to start thinking about the things that you can do to make a change. Heather, we also have Heather in the studio from Brief, our very own. Heather, talk to us a little bit about your, we know that you've also been very active as a youth, Bahamian youth in climate and environmental issues. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I got introduced to climate action and really the need for action in our environment when I was in about the 8th or 9th grade. It was just about when COVID had started hitting. We had had Dorian on our island in Freeport. And then we had the lockdown right after, so we were kind of stuck in our thoughts. And before then, I had been part of my eco club, so I really knew that I could make a difference. And really during COVID, I took the opportunity to really find opportunities that were available virtually. So I really took advantage of the opportunity and really signed on to organizations that allowed me to have a voice in these issues and these matters. And especially when I realized that I was one of a few young people and young Bahamians who actually really care about the environment and really talk about that passion, it really even drove me further to really be that voice for change, and especially to encourage other people who may not have the courage to really speak up about issues that they may be passionate about.
Mm. Yes, awesome stuff. So, you know, I also consider myself a youth, okay? I'm barely 30. But you're all in here. Our youth ambassadors, could you remind me of your ages again? Renisha, how old are you?
I'm 23.
And Samantha?
I'm 20.
Oh, how tender.
Oh. And Heather? Also 20.
Okay, so 23. These are youth voices for conservation, right? These are young people in the Bahamas doing wonderful things for the environment. So from this perspective, Wenisha and Samantha, how do you think that youth can make a real difference when it comes to addressing environmental challenges like climate change or pollution?
So one of the biggest things that I've been noticing recently is a lot of youth finally, a lot of spaces are finally being created for young people, and not just organizations or clubs, but, you know, the big meetings like COP and the other things that happen globally, they're actually finally creating youth spaces for youth to show up and actually be negotiators and actually sit at the table and actually, you know, say what we feel is going to impact our future. You know, a lot of times when decisions are being made, we're not at the table, when we are going to be the people that are going to, you know, face the repercussions of what it's done or not done in the preservation of our country. So what can we do? I think that youth can continue to show up, you know, to show up to spaces where we don't have a lot of youth raising awareness for things that matter and really just taking the lead, like start the organization, start the club, show up to the spaces and do what you really feel is passionate for you. I feel like a lot of youth are afraid when they show up to certain rooms because they see such diplomatic people, they see the suits, they have the master's degrees and the PhDs, but like I said, we are the holders of the future. We are going to be the people that have to deal with the repercussions of what's done or not done for our country.
Mm. Well said, Samantha.
Just to piggyback off of what Wenisha said, what she finished off saying is that we youth are the ones who are being impacted by this. So you asked how youth can make the real big difference, but I think it's more so we have to make that big difference. It's not a how can we do it, it's we're already doing it, we have to, there's no option about it. We grew up in a world where we had epidemics like the COVID pandemic. We also have reports coming out that say that in 10 to 12% of the Bahamas is going to be underwater by 2050 if sea level continue to rise because of climate change or other things like that. We're the ones who have to build stronger infrastructure to withstand these intense hurricanes and these heat waves that we're experiencing and all this heavy rainfall that we're experiencing as well. So it's not only impacting us in our past, it's impacting our present, and it's also looking towards our future, not our immediate future, but also our children and our grandchildren. We're the ones who have the most incentive to want to make those changes and help combat adverse environmental impacts and challenges like climate change.
Mm. Very true. So what I'm hearing now, and Heather, feel free to chime in at any time, is that, you know, usually parents or adults, they don't really want children to, or young people to worry about all of these very important issues like climate change, right? Just like, oh, you know, just focus on your schoolwork. Don't worry about the climate change. Don't worry about the flooding. Don't worry about the hurricanes. But these are things that are directly impacting us. And I think that now, Wenisha, you spoke about young people now being invited into these spaces. I think people now are realizing by doing these things, and this is why it's growing so much. This is why the fact that people are including youth is growing so much is because they realize the amount of innovation and thoughtfulness that young people have nowadays.
Yeah, and there have been a lot more opportunities, especially in youth in parliament here in the Bahamas, for youth to get involved in the decisions and the policies that are coming to light in recent years. But it's just about following through with those and ensuring that those policies are put in place to ensure that we have a better future, because we as young people aren't just saying these things that we're concerned about because we think it's trendy or something that's cool. It's our future, it's our livelihoods, it's the home we're gonna live in 20 years. It's mm-hmm. the fact of if we're gonna have to innovate and adapt to what's happening to our country in 20 years because of the sea level rise or because of the intensifying storms. And that's really scary when you think about it. If you think about it as of where is my life gonna be if my government does not make a change, it really wants you and encourages you to really say something and speak up about it. And when you have fellow youth alongside you and by your side, you feel less alone. And that's why organizations like the Bahamas Youth Climate Ambassadors and the SDG Ambassadors are so important, because they allow students to realize that their voice isn't just in vain, and it's actually something that other people have noticed as well and are also concerned about.
For sure. And on that same note, we spoke about, I asked you about, you know, climate change and pollution, but what do you think from your perspective, Wanisha and Samantha, what do you think from your perspective are some of the biggest environmental issues facing the Bahamas right now? And as young people, how can we contribute to the solutions for that? Heather?
So some of the challenges we might face with our climate coming up is like hurricanes. We see Hurricane Helen happening right now to North Carolina, and we've seen the damage that it's caused as a Category 4 hurricane, at least what we categorize as a Category 4 hurricane. But we've seen hurricanes surpassing those limits, and that's, like I said again, scary. Mm-hmm. Because growing up on the island of Freeport and really experiencing that, no power, no contact, it's really scary. So you can imagine as the years progress and storms get more strong, if we had experienced Helen, we would not be in the same situation we were with Dorian, because it might have been even worse. And as the years get come and these storms progress in strength and in size, we really need to think about what we're doing to adapt, and then what we're doing to educate people about what's happening, why these storms are getting stronger. And a lot of people don't even believe in climate change, but when we see hurricanes like this, it's hard not to believe.
Very true. Any of you guys want to chime in?
Yeah, if I can add more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Another big thing that I wanted to mention is biodiversity loss. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of biodiversity loss because of everything we talked about, but also because of overconsumption, of lack of sustainable practices. We have a lot of overfishing going on, which endangers our species.
So,
and we also,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're going to have to put a little pin there. Biodiversity loss.
Yes.
Biodiversity is a big word, y'all. It's a very big word. What do we mean by biodiversity loss?
So biodiversity loss just means, for example, if we take the marine ecosystem, we have a lot of fish, we have manta rays, we have sharks, we have a bunch of different animals that live inside of that ecosystem that live below the water, right? So when we talk about biodiversity loss, we're talking about a lot of these species that, as our climate is changing and as our environment is changing, these species aren't adapting to these changes, and so they end up dying if they don't adapt quick enough. So it just kind of narrows down the ecosystem, and it makes it very vulnerable, because if you think about it, our ecosystem is almost like a building, and you have, say, the first floor and the second floor. If you take out the first floor, some of those fish and some of those sharks that couldn't adapt quickly enough, the second floor is going to fall down really quickly, right? So biodiversity loss avoiding biodiversity loss is really important to help avoid those complete collapses of a whole ecosystem.
Wow, that's very interesting. You wanted to add anything else about the loss of biodiversity?
Only that we also have invasive species that are also adversely affecting our ecosystems. Yeah.
Okay. Wanisha?
And lastly, after all of that lovely information was given, I think that one of our biggest threats also could even be ourselves. As Bahamian people, you know, if not realizing the seriousness of what we're facing, after all of the numbers were given, 2050 sea rise, the sea is going to be rising, and a lot of islands may not be in the state that it is in now, like if we don't take the initiative to do better. And I always say when it was trending, when Miss Daisy had the whole thing, keep the Bahamas clean, green and pristine, even though that small island developing states and us like the Bahamas, we're not a big contributor to climate change or the effects of climate, we still could take more pride in our country. We still could do more. We still could, you know, show up to the beach cleanups. We still could take initiatives in keeping our surroundings clean and just doing more, you know, and speaking up. When we see certain seasons are closed and people are just out there doing what they want to do, like, it's not okay. It's not okay. I feel like the year just started. It just was January, and now we're about to enter a new year, 2025, and Hurricane Beryl is showing up. You spoke about Hurricane Helen, and there's the three other storm names they were talking about recently, and it's just so scary knowing that, once again, though we're not one of the biggest contributors, we're the first set of people, our country and other small island developing states, that are going to be affected by these storms, by these hurricanes, and by these natural disasters. So mm-hmm. I think that we can still take initiative as a country in doing more. We could show up more and we could do more.
Absolutely. I'm 100% on board with that. And I feel like we are a little hard on ourselves sometimes, too. We like to say, oh, you know, Bahamians are too nasty, or Bahamians are too this, or Bahamians are... But it's everyone. It's collective. It's everybody living in this country. And we know we have a lot more than just Bahamians here. We know we have a lot more than just us contributing to the pollution, because pollution was another one of those issues that we talked about earlier. When we look at threats, there's also tourism, right? Mm-hmm. We have people from everywhere coming in, through the water, by planes, boats, every which way that people can travel. And we have to be very careful of those things too. I know we're limited. So it does seem like, you know, you're screaming into a vacuum sometimes, because you don't really have the capacity all the time to guard every inch of ocean, right? And every acre of land. But like you said, in every way that we as young people and older people as well can get involved, we can make the difference in those small ways, and everybody playing a part is going to make a change, which is what we're looking forward to. Heather?
Yeah, and I just, like I said, when I started my journey as an environmental advocate, I didn't really feel like it was a community that I really fit into. Like Wainisha said, it's really intimidating. And from this show, I really want to encourage as many young people as possible to really try your hand. Even if it doesn't work the first time, that's just a sign that you're making the steps towards making a change, and that's better than doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And so just taking those tiny steps, pick up a piece of garbage at school or join your eco club, and even if you're not able to organize that, you know, find out ways that you can help the eco club during mm-hmm. school time and really get your voice heard. Or if that's mm-hmm. not something you're passionate about, just educate yourself on why these things are happening to the Bahamas, what the effects of climate change are, and how you can adapt to work around those things that we may experience in coming years. And then I would also say that it does not matter how smart you are, or how smart you feel you are, or how unsmart you feel you are. It doesn't have to be that you are an amazing student to really get involved in the environment. A lot of people become maritime engineers, naval architects, and different things like that. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of my best scholars really branch out from the marine biology scope and really explore what other careers are out there. I think yeah. Samantha is a great advocate on really presenting alternative careers
yeah.
for young people and steering them away from, oh, I can't afford to pursue a degree in marine biology, so I'm not going to pursue it. Mm-hmm. There's other avenues that you can take towards finding a career in a field that you're passionate about.
Absolutely. And Wainisha, you also spoke about education, environmental education, so you may want to be a teacher. You spoke about environmental law, right? These are things that people get into, and they're not, you know, stereotypical what you would think an environmentally conscious person is going to go into. But there's there's an avenue for you, right? No matter what your interest is, you can always be a part of this. And while we're talking about all these things, I'm going to plug some of our brief events and programs that we have. So if you are a young person and you do want to be involved in environmental conservation or anything of the sort, brief, you could follow us on our brief page at Brief242 on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And you can come along to our public snorkels that are completely free. Our workshops, they're also free, and several brief events, and you can be a part of this. We also have a beach cleanup guide as well, so you could organize your own beach cleanup with an adult or with a group of friends if you are an adult. And you could just make it a community effort. You don't have to do these things every day, but it's good if you get involved in the ways that you can and when you have the time to do it as well. So, next question. I want Wadisha and Samantha, could you talk about any projects or campaigns that you've been a part of that aim to raise awareness or take action on environmental conservation?
So, yes, I can. We are actually hosting or organizing a campaign right now through our social media, just to plug ourselves as well. You can follow us on Instagram at SDGUnit242. And sam.sdg.242 and bccya.242. All three of these accounts are for SDGs. They do have a climate change focus, but we're specifically talking about SDG campaign that we're doing right now. We are trying to raise awareness on what the, first of all, the SDGs mm-hmm. stands for Sustainable Development Goals. So I probably should have said that at the beginning. But basically, there are 17 Sustainable Development Goals that were created by the United Nations as part of a 15-year action plan that started in 2015. And our fast approaching deadline to have achieved all 17 of these goals on a global scale is 2030. That is 6 years away, if my math is mathing. Yes, it is. So I think it's really important that we're posting informative posts and also trendy and cute and relatable reels where we're trying to inform the Bahamian public and all youth that really reaches this content or the content that reaches the youth, just on what these SDGs are, why they're important, why were they made, how do they affect you as a Bahamian, what can you do to help as a Bahamian. And again, just follow those three accounts and you can learn more about how those SDGs are helping with environmental conservation and what actions, whether it be making a grocery list before you go shopping so that you only buy your necessities and you don't buy any extras, and that way you can reduce your consumption. Or also taking shorter showers. Like, did you know that you use around 20 gallons of water per an 8-minute shower? That is a lot of water, and nobody here takes 8-minute showers. I mean, I'm guilty. I do take longer than 8 minutes, but it is things that we can do, like taking shorter showers, or like making the shopping list, that can help make small changes in your daily activities and can make your life just so much more sustainable and help with small actions that lead up to bigger actions, and they do add up. So that is a campaign that I would like to plug right now.
Okay, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So we're also on the verge, so close to launching our school tours as well. So, you know, I spoke about youth education earlier, and, you know, one thing that we've been realizing that is that a lot of young people, especially primary school, junior, high school, they know little to outside of general science that they learn or biology that they learn in school. They don't know much about climate change or sustainability. So both Sam and I and the two other fellow ambassadors, we're about to launch our school tours. We'll be visiting different schools in Nassau and on the islands to just educate them as much as we can. And we want to keep it super simple, just like a 101 climate change 101, SDG 101, where we educate you know, the youth of our country about climate change and sustainability and also the careers. And I also wanted to piggyback on Heather when you were talking about the different careers in the space. When I first started out, obviously I'm studying law, I wanted to be a corporate lawyer, and now, like, I'm 100% interested in climate justice. I'm interested in how now my master's degree, when I do pursue it, like, I'm interested in climate change or sustainability. And I'm like, I'm thinking more in the climate sense, because at one point I thought that I didn't belong in this space. I thought that my voice didn't matter. And now that I'm in it, I'm saying, okay, I need to get educated. I need to be certified so that now I can enter the space and do all that I can as a young person in this country.
Mm. Awesome.
And if I can just add for the presentations, we are starting them, like Wainisha said, this month. And we do have our list of schools that we would like to go to. But again, if you want us to go to your school, or if you want us to go to your community, your church, your whatever it is, a group of friends, we are a small team, but our focus is on advocating for sustainable changes and climate change. So if you are interested in this, just reach out to us again on any of the platforms that we mentioned before, and we would love to go and teach you about why it's important, how it affects you, and again, the things that you can do to help.
Okay. So I'm curious about this, because you're talking about schools and you're talking, and obviously you're young people. You're both in college.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're both in college. So just briefly, tell me, how do you balance your activism with your schoolwork and other responsibilities? And what motivates you to stay involved? And then how do you, what would you suggest? So while you're telling me that, I want you to suggest, make suggestions for other young people who may be trying to figure out how to balance these things.
So I could start. I am currently, like I said, studying engineering and environmental technology while being a youth ambassador, and I'm also working part-time in an engineering company in the construction industry. They are all very diverse themes or industries, but also I think it's important, as a suggestion for anyone who's trying to balance different aspects of their life, it almost feels like you have different hats and you just don't know which one to put on, and sometimes you can put two hats on at the same time and it gets confusing. But what I would suggest is figure out what your main goal is. My main goal is to help preserve the country, preserve the beauty of the country, and avoid any environmental adverse impacts on our country. So whether it be the fact that at school I was taking a material science course, I would relate it back to sustainability. So what materials was I learning about that we could implement in the Bahamas? Is it a greener material that we could use? Or is it a stronger material we could use to help the infrastructure last longer? Or, for example, when I go on site to construction sites, there is a lot of pollution that comes in. There's no trash bins that are put into place. So workers have their lunch, and understandable, they're very tired. They're working. Being in construction is extremely tiring, and you're in this hot sun all day. But at the same time, how can we incentivize them to throw their trash away in bins so that it doesn't go off into the ocean? Because most of these sites are coastal, since we are an island. So just kind of relating every aspect that I do in my life back to that main topic, that main goal that you're doing, whatever it may be, I think that would be my biggest suggestion. Just do that, and it'll help you balance out everything very well.
Wainisha?
Yes, and to be completely transparent, it is not easy. It is not easy for me to work full-time, go to school full-time, be an ambassador, and, you know, participate in other organizations that are climate-friendly, etc. But, you know, back to what Sam said, really just knowing your end goal and what your focus is. Like I said, I started off, and I am currently studying law, and I just have always been interested in advocacy and activism. And then I found my passion, which is, you know, climate change. And now I have a purpose of what I want to use, how I want to use the law, how I want to advocate, and how I also want to represent my country. So I try to tie in everything that I do, similar to Sam, to really figure out how I want to make an impact. So my main goal is to use my voice to show up. So it's as simple as that, deciding if you want to use your voice and if you want to show up, and just doing it, just showing up anyway. Like Heather said, not thinking that you're not smart enough or you're too young, just making a simple decision that you want to enter this space. Like Sam said, as simple as taking shorter showers. Like, it's so much that we can do at home on a small scale and global scale, just to help protect our country and preserve it.
That's excellent, excellent advice for all the young listeners out there. So we're about to wrap up now. But just in closing, I'm going to ask the table, looking ahead, what do you hope to see from the next generation of youth activists in the terms of environmental advocacy and action? And just brief responses, Wainisha, Samantha, and Heather.
All right, so all of us here would be Gen Z. I'm a big Gen Z, I'm advocate. So that would be Generation Alpha. So I just hope to continue to see generations of young people standing up for what they believe in and continuing to fight. I feel that all of the sustainable development goals that can't be met if all of us globally decide that they're important, and if we don't, like, our lives would be at stake. So I hope to just continue to see young people advocating for what matters to them.
Just real quick, in one word, implementation. We have to actually make these plans, not just make the plans, but actually implement them. We can talk and talk and talk about how important it is for youth to be involved, but we need people who are leaders and have the initiative to make proposals and go to people who will listen, or even people who won't listen. Find someone who can help you implement your projects. Everyone has their own struggle, their own problem. And if you have your own solution to your problem and you can make that problem go away by implementing a project, go for it. Do it.
Heather?
I'd like to see the future of the climate sphere and the next generation be a more inclusive and equitable space where, regardless of your age, if you are confident and accurate in what you're speaking about and it is a relevant issue, that your voice should have an opportunity to be heard regardless of where you come from, what you believe in, or how smart you might think you are. Anybody can be a climate activist regardless of where you come from.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much, Wainisha and Samantha, the ambassadors, and Heather for joining us today. And thank you to our listening audience. Next week, tune again, same place, same time, for another episode of Our Blue Bahamas.